Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first 11 verses. This is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same afflictions we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How many of you here have ever gone through some sort of difficulty or painful experience in your life? Okay, the rest of you are comatose. I mean, everybody goes through hardship. Everybody goes through difficulty. This is not something, you know, some people experience hardship. Everybody does. And sometimes the Christian life is presented as sort of, if you do the right stuff, it will go well for you. There's a certain truth to that. I mean, there is. Bible speaks very clearly about sowing and reaping, and the fact of the matter is that there are consequences for our behaviors. But there are also consequences for other people's behaviors. If I am driving perfectly and some other klutz decides that they're going to look at the scenery and cross the yellow line and hit me in a head-on, I'm not going to say, well, I was not even bruised because I was driving on my side of the road. No, if I'm driving on the right side of the road and they hit me, I'm still suffering. There are consequences to other people's decisions as well as to ours, and all of us are affected by that. All of us. The fact of the matter is, we are all affected by the decision made by Adam and Eve. We all suffer the consequence of something that happened long before we were born, generations before, at the start of human history. Everybody suffers painful consequences, sickness and death, as a result of decisions we had no part in, except that we kind of are inclined to do the same sort of thing ourselves. And so in this life, there is no escape from the fact that there's suffering. All of us suffer, whether we are careful, whether we are prayerful, whether we are obedient or disobedient, all of us suffer. That's just a part of life. Some people suffer more than others, as best we can tell. But where do you find comfort? The suffering is a reality. And the Apostle Paul knew a lot about suffering, and he even says in this passage, we don't want you to be uninformed about the suffering we went through. One of the things we need to know about each other is each other's stories. We'll talk more about that in a moment. When the Apostle Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, tells us about where to find comfort, he's not talking about how to escape trouble, how to avoid pain. He's talking about where you can find comfort in the midst of adversity. It's not about the absence of troubles, but it is about the presence of Christ. That's what makes the difference. Knowing that he is with us, and he loves us, and he is ultimately in control. It's like, well, that's no help. If he's in control, why am I still hurting? When I came out of anesthesia and found myself feeling worse than I'd ever felt in my entire life, I began crying out to the Lord, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, please have mercy. Please help me. Lord, please help me. My wife finally got tired of it. And it was utterly from the heart. I was absolutely sincere. I wanted the Lord to help me. And I knew he could. I knew he has all power. He could instantaneously touch and heal me. I knew that. So it's like, why do I have to go through this? And it occurred to me after a couple of days of misery and constant moaning, it occurred to me that yes, the Lord could do that, but you need this. Why would I need that? First of all, I don't fully know. I don't fully understand all the purposes of suffering. But I do know this. If you look at the scriptures, God uses our difficulties to help us. For one thing, when we are going through difficulty, we feel a lot less at home. And we're not supposed to think this is our home. We're supposed to long for something better. We're supposed to know that this isn't all there is. We're not supposed to get too attached, but rather to live as pilgrims and aliens here. You can endure a lot more if you know it's not permanent. Okay? It's temporary. The comfort comes in knowing that our Lord, who loves us, is in control. And so you've got Daniel's three friends who are being threatened with death by fire. And their statement is, we know that the Lord is able to deliver us. And we believe the Lord will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, we're not going to disobey him by bowing down and worshiping some idol. Their confidence in the face of suffering, a real threat, it wasn't like, I'm going to defriend you on Facebook. We're talking about being thrown into a furnace. Okay? And as they faced that, their comfort was knowing that God's in control. And I believe he's going to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still going to be okay. I did not enjoy recovery from surgery, but my wife will tell you, I was not afraid before the surgery because the prospects of death, I can live with that. It's just pain I hate. Okay? Heaven is wonderful. Being with the Lord forever, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more goodbyes. I'm going to see the ones I love again soon. I'm telling you, that's not horrible. It's the pain of this life that gets us down. But I remember having to hold my son while the doctors worked on him. And he didn't understand why I wouldn't make them stop. He didn't understand why I restrained him to keep him from fighting back. He didn't understand that I was doing it out of love. The reason I let the doctors do things that caused pain was because they were doing things to help him that he couldn't understand. And you and I, in the midst of our suffering, if we know the Lord, are able to rest in the confidence that he really does love us, he does know what's best, he is in control, and it's going to turn out right. That is enormous comfort. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He is the God of all comfort. And he is with us and within us as believers as we go through the sufferings of this life. We're not on our own. We're not having to call God long distance. Even though I was crying out to the Lord over and over and over, the fact of the matter is, at least I was calling out to the Lord. I wasn't saying, "Nurse, help me." I knew there was only one. And then I began to realize the journey is very important. I want to get there. I mean, I'm thinking, I would not have let those friends of Daniel get tied up. The fact of the matter is, you and I have to look back at that story and see what happened to those fellows and realize they were better off having been thrown into the furnace. The flames burned away the ropes, and they got to have a visit with somebody really, really wonderful. His name is wonderful. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Looks like the Son of God." Bingo! You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Nebuchadnezzar recognized the presence of the Son. Let me tell you something. It's in the midst of affliction that we draw close to him, that we get to know him better, that we experience the beauty and the power of his presence with us.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
So, it's not the absence of troubles, but the presence of Christ. Secondly, there's benefit to others, both in the suffering and in the comfort. This does not say that God causes you to have bad stuff happen just so that you can help somebody else. It says that is the fruit of this. Well, are you saying the Lord's not in control? It's the devil who causes all the bad stuff to happen, and God's the one who comes along and cleans it up, turns it into something pretty. No, I'm not saying that. The devil couldn't touch Job without permission from God. God is totally sovereign. He is ruling over all. And there's nothing that happens to you where God says, "How did that happen?" As Corrie ten Boom, who suffered so horribly at the hands of the Nazis, said after the fact, there's never a panic in heaven. There's never a panic in heaven. So the Apostle Paul tells us there is benefit to other people. when we go through suffering. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. He fills us with the Comforter. He fills us with His comfort so that it overflows. The comfort overflows. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. God's using it for good. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort. In other words, what happens to us is not just about us. It's to be for the benefit of other people. It produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Wait a minute. I wanted to avoid suffering. Paul says, no. You need to know about comfort. Because that comfort is what you're going to need when you go through the same kind of suffering that we experience. It is not a surprise when we suffer. But it is a joy when we find comfort in the Lord. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, please hear that phrase, you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. That is what we're talking about. In a world where everybody suffers, you don't have to go it alone. You can know the peace of God and the comfort of God that comes from the presence of God. And so there's benefit to other people in our suffering because we're able to share with them, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how the Lord helped me through this. Yes, you're going through pain, and I don't want to minimize that, but I want you to understand something. It is temporary. It is temporary. Whatever you're going through, it's not going to last forever. If you are in Christ Jesus, all that's going to go away. If you are not in Christ Jesus, these will be the good old days. If you step into eternity having refused to receive God's grace, you are going to experience God's wrath forever. There is benefit to others even as we go through hardship. But I want you to also see the importance of others in God's providing comfort. Verse 11, I'll start back in verse 10. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we've set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. As you help us by your prayers. Does prayer do any good? Absolutely. Absolutely. This says you can help people by praying for them. When I was having my surgery, my oldest brother, who's a doctor, called and he said, I don't know if you belong to Joni's school of prayer. Now, Joni is our sister. And he said, Joni seems to feel that if a bunch of people pray for you, you'll do okay. If you've only got a few, too bad. I mean, we do kind of feel that way sometimes, don't we? But this says that having people pray for you actually has benefit, but look at what the benefit is. The benefit is not just that we get helped when folks pray for us, but that many give praise to God when they see the answer. In verse 11, he says, you help us by your prayers, but I want to just give you a hint of what's to come in this letter. One of the things that we'll see is other people are not only important as they pray for us, but they're important through their presence. Not just prayers, but presence. Where do you get that? Well, look at chapter 2, just quickly. Verses 12 and 13. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I couldn't do this job without help. And he had people with him, but he was concerned, where's Titus? I need Titus. And so he didn't stay. He said, I had no peace of mind because I didn't find my brother Titus. I would say, Paul, you're obviously a codependent. You said it yourself. God has opened a door for you here. The idea of going on to Macedonia, that's not okay. You can read about that in Acts 16. But here you get more detail. He says, I had no peace of mind because Titus wasn't there. And so I went on to the next place. Can you believe Paul would say that? I mean, I find it hard to believe that Paul did that. But I find it just astounding that he told it. You know? I mean, there are two rules you want to remember in life. My oldest brother told me when I was in elementary school. One is never make mistakes. And the second is, when you make a mistake, don't let anybody know. Now, obviously, he was being facetious. But here's the Apostle Paul saying, God opened a door for us, and I just couldn't do it because Titus wasn't there, and so we went on to the next place. Wow. Is that okay? He doesn't say it was okay. He just says that's what happened. His peace of mind was tied to the presence of one of his workers who was missing, and so he goes on to the next place. And God blessed him, and God used it. And by the way, you know what happened when he got in the next place? He got beaten up horribly, thrown in jail, and decided to go ahead and praise God anyway. And while he was praising God, an earthquake happened. Do you ever have days like that? Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 5 and following. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. My joy was greater than ever. Why? Because my circumstances had suddenly been transformed? I got a check in the mail? No. Because Titus showed up. And when Titus came, I felt encouraged. Do you know people like that? Do you know people who the minute you hear their voice on the phone, it just puts a smile on your face? The minute you see them, thank you, Lord. There are folks like that. Titus was a guy through whom God brought comfort to the Apostle Paul. And one of the reasons that Titus was able to do it is because Titus had been comforted by the people who sent him to Paul. Titus had been encouraged. Now he's going to go and encourage Paul. That's the way it's supposed to work, and that's what Paul says back in chapter 1. He says, we receive comfort in the midst of our affliction, and as a result, we're able to comfort others in the midst of their affliction. Folks, in the body of Christ, we find comfort in the presence of the Lord, but we also find comfort by God's design in the ministry of other people. And those people comfort us through their prayers, through their presence, and also the power of the Holy Spirit works through them by the encouragement they've received from other people. It continues to be a blessing. It continues to multiply. And you're supposed to be a part of that. It's not a one-way street. The Apostle Paul didn't say, and I'm going to come and comfort you. He says, I need comfort too, and you're it. And the purpose for which God comforts me is that I might comfort you. It's a reciprocal relationship. And that's what God designed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.